Today is the 10th of May 1994, the same date as the lecture on the other side of this tape, and I want to talk to you about what is undoubtedly the most puzzling of all the mental mechanisms. It is not only the most puzzling, but it's also evidently the one that's least understood, for there's not even a word in the English language which gets even close to describing the mechanism.
Nope.
Yeah, the mechanism is very, very common, causes considerable stress to every games player, particularly compulsive games players who are highly prone to the mechanism. And in certain circumstances, under certain circumstances, the game loss that the mechanism can bring about can ruin a person's life. And although on the other end of the spectrum, the game loss can be quite trivial, but nevertheless there's a broad spectrum of possible game loss associated with the mechanism. So it's far from a trivial mechanism. When I first discovered this mechanism in my own psyche during my own research, I started to hunt up my reference books, my psychology books and reference book, general reference books, and I could find absolutely no trace of this mechanism. And I was hard put upon to find a title that would describe the mechanism, until I remembered that the mechanism occurs in the game of chess. The noble game of chess contains this mechanism, and in chess the mechanism is called Zugzwang. And so we will adopt that title and use the word Zugzwang to describe this mental mechanism. The word Zugzwang is a German word, and the word Zugzwang in German describes the mechanism exactly as it occurs in the game of chess. And although the translation of the German word Zugzwang, which means the compulsion to move, although the translation of this word is not an exact description of the mental mechanism, it's close enough for our purposes. So we will call this mental mechanism Zugzwang. It's as good a name as any, and it's better than most. I'd better start off by explaining how the mechanism occurs in the game of chess. What is Zugzwang in chess? Well, Zugzwang occurs in chess when a player, although it's his move and his position is quite sound, any move he makes is a bad move and will lead to inevitable game loss. However, one of the rules of chess says that the player, when it is his turn to move, he must make a move or he will forfeit the game by violation of the rules of chess. So the unfortunate player in Zugzwang is faced with two losing game options. He either makes a move and loses the game by making a bad move, or he loses the game by not making a bad move and loses the game by breach of the rules of chess. So they to celebrate that, they call the mechanism Zugzwang in chess, which means literally the compulsion to move. The player is beaten by the compulsion to move. Even in the game of chess, we see this quality of that is reflected in the life game, that this quality that the player is under no particular threat. And yet suddenly, because of this compulsion to move, he loses the game. And it's similarly in life. The player can be jogging along in games play, everything seems to be going well, and then suddenly an event occurs, and the next moment, immediately, he's facing a situation, he's in Zugzwang. He hits a Zugzwang situation, and immediately goes into game loss. And it can be tremendously puzzling to the player, because he just doesn't know what went on? What is happening? He's not under a tremendous duress from the opponent. He's not under tremendous duress from the universe. But because of the particular circumstances that occur, his game loss is inevitable. That's the situation he finds himself in. It's a most puzzling situation. What makes it particularly puzzling to the games player, upsetting to the games player, is that he can't really blame anyone for the Zugzwang. He doesn't know quite how he got overwhelmed, how he lost the game, because he's under no particular duress from anyone. And it's just because of the particular circumstances he finds himself in that he goes into game loss. So psychologically, the mechanism hangs fire on the time track. Anyone who's been Zugzwanged in life, and most people have, you'll find that the incident will sit there as a great puzzlement. They just don't know how it happened. They don't know quite what happened. They don't understand the mechanism of what happened to them. And the unfortunate thing is that while this, they don't understand what happened in the incident contains a mystery. And while the incident contains a mystery, it won't erase. And while the incident won't erase, of course, the to-know-goals package won't erase. You can't erase the to-know-goals package in the presence of mysteries, you see. So the level five, the whole of level five can be prevented from completing because of a Zugzwang incident sitting on a person's track. This is why I'm mentioning the mechanism. I have to mention it to you. Because you may need this data to get it apart. You may solve it. You may get the incident apart and discover it all for yourself. A person could do this, like I discovered the mechanism in my own research. But nevertheless, this tape would be helpful to you, particularly if you tried and tried and tried and then despaired. Well, this tape would then solve it for you, because I do understand the exact anatomy of Zugzwang. And the solution to Zugzwang does occur, I do explain in this tape. Now, without more ado, I think the best approach would be to give an immediate example from life of Zugzwang. A wealthy businessman decides that he'd like to engage upon a little tax evasion, and so he writes on his tax return form that he's made a large donation to a well-known charity, when in fact, of course, he hasn't, and completes the tax return and sends it off to the tax office and thinks no more about it. And a few weeks later, he gets a telephone call from the charity thanking him very much for his donation and asking him when they can expect a check. Now, granting only that this businessman regards any unnecessary expenditure of money to the tax office or to the charity as a gain loss, granting that, then the man is Zugzwang. Now let's examine the situation. Now first off, it's quite clear what has happened. That he sent his tax return in, and because there's such a large amount of money involved on the donation to the charity, that the tax office have contacted the charity and asked if it's true that he has made this donation to the charity. The charity, upon receiving this information from the tax office, have said to the tax office, "We'll investigate. Hang on, we'll let you know." And have thought to themselves, right, well, we can well get a good donation here. So they're very hopeful, so that they immediately contact the businessman and work on the assumption that he's made this donation and they just simply want to know when they can expect to get the check. See? So everyone, they're hopeful, and the tax office are simply doing their job. Now, that's how the situation came about, quite clearly. Now, when we examine this situation, that the businessman isn't under any tremendous duress here, is he? There's no overwhelming force being directed against him. Yet his game loss is inevitable. What can he do? Well, the first thing he can do is pay the charity the amount that he said he paid them in his tax return. Pays the charity. The charity then report back to the tax office that they've received the cheque from the businessman, and that satisfies the tax office, and so they're happy. The charity's happy. The tax office is happy. But the man has lost the game, because he's now paid in his own bind an unnecessary expenditure of money to the charity, so he suffered game loss. So that's one option. The other option he can make is to not pay the charity. But if he doesn't pay the charity are bound to report back to the tax office that they've received no donation from this businessman to their charity in that financial year. Now, because of the large amount of money involved on the tax return, the tax office are bound to take some action on this, and they will fine the man for forwarding a false tax return. So again, he suffers game loss here. He's now paying out unnecessary money to the tax office. So if he pays the charity, he loses the game, and if he doesn't pay the charity, then he has to pay the tax office, and again he loses the game. So either way, one way or the other, he's gonna lose the game. So we say he's zugzwang, and the game loss is inevitable. Now, I could give you many more examples of zugzwang, but I won't do so because that example is quite sufficient for our purposes, and is a good typical example of zugzwang. Not every zugzwang contains an intent on the part of the games player to break the law or do anything untoward, but nevertheless, that example is quite typical of the zugzwang situation. Now, the first thing we must understand about zugzwang's situation is that game loss is inevitable. Don't miss that one. Game loss in zugzwang is inevitable. The person isn't going to get out of the game loss. It's inevitable. One way or another, he's going to lose the game. And it's our goal, our purpose on this tape to discover just what is going on and why this is inevitable. Well, there's a few things we need to, few technical terms and technical things we need to look at and examine, and then we can go ahead and do what we call a zugzwang analysis, and you'll see when we've completed the analysis, the whole picture becomes very, very clear. So first of all, let's take up the first of these technical terms. The first of our technical terms we need to look at is the subject of a losing a game option. A losing a game option. Now, this is a technical term in game play. It's a technical term and is defined as follows. A losing game option is any action that the player is free to undertake that he knows will lead to game loss. Any action that the games player is free to undertake that he knows will lead to game loss. End of definition. So there's two things about the losing game option that are important. One is that there's freedom of choice in it. The person is free to engage upon this action, or is not, or is free to engage upon the action, or not to engage upon the action. There's no compulsion. There's a free action. And the other is that they do know that if they engage upon this action, they will lose the game. That's why we call it a losing game option. Every postulate that a person operates on in game play, or every postulate that a person operates on can have a number of losing game options. Now, I'll give you an example of this and you'll see what I mean. If a person is operating on the purpose to survive, then a losing game option is to throw themselves off a cliff. They know that if they throw themselves off a cliff, they will lose the game. They will not survive. They also know that's game option A. So we say losing game option A, throw themselves off a cliff. Losing game option B, to shoot themselves through the heart with a bullet. That again will cause them to die and cause them to lose the game, when they're running on the postulate to survive. So you see that any postulate can have a large number of losing game options. You see that? It's not a one-to-one proposition, not a one-to-one relationship between a postulate and a losing game option. The other thing you need to know about the relationship here between a postulate and losing game options is that if the postulate changes, the losing game options change. That much is obvious in first principles, but I thought I'd better mention it for completeness sake. Now, the next technical thing we need to understand, to come across and look at, to understand this mechanism of Zugzwang, is the concept of a senior encompassing a game. A senior encompassing a game. I won't give a precise definition of this, but I'll simply describe it to you, and you'll understand what it is. By its name, it's obviously the game the person is playing is surrounded by a larger game. An example of a senior encompassing game is that all the games on this planet are played within the laws that govern, the physical laws that govern this universe. So the laws that govern the universe, the laws that govern the physical universe, are a senior encompassing game to any games that are played on this planet. You follow that? Another example of a senior encompassing game can be the laws of the country or the laws of the land in which you live. You may be playing certain games within the country in which you live, but you're playing these within the structure of the laws of the land. You see that? In which you live. And generally speaking, there's only senior encompassing games fall into two types. They're either the laws of the physical universe itself, or they're the laws of the land, or the laws that you're operating on in the society in which you're living. They may be something as simple as the laws of chess, the game of chess, but they nevertheless have an agreed upon set of laws that when you play the game of chess, you abide by these laws. So they're a part of the society in which you live. You see that? So generally speaking, there's only two types of senior encompassing game: the laws of the physical universe itself and the laws of the society in which you live. Okay, so much for that. Now, Zugzwang comes about, and this is the inner datum of the inner datum about Zugzwang. Zugzwang comes about in games play when a situation arises where the senior encompassing game impinges upon the game of the player and produces a relationship between his losing game options of a particular type. This relationship, assuming let's call any two of the losing game options of a postulate A and B. So we have this postulate, and any two of its losing game options of this postulate may be, we'll call them A and B. The senior in the Zugzwang situation, the senior encompassing game impinges upon, but because of the circumstances, impinges upon the player and causes his losing game options to be related in the form, if not A, then B. Now, if you've, I'll go through it again. The Zugzwang situation occurs when the situation is such that the senior encompassing game impinges upon the game of the player and causes any two of his losing game options of a postulate to be related in the form, if not A, then B. And that is Zugzwang. I'll give you give you a formal definition of Zugzwang. A player is said to be zhang zhuang when any two of the losing game options of a postulate, call them A and B, are brought into the relationship, if not A, then B, by the impingement of a senior encompassing game. The game loss in Zhang Zhuang is inevitable. Now, when we look at that definition there, we see why the game's loss is inevitable. It's inevitable simply because if the person's game options, the losing game options, I should say, are in the relationship, if not A, then B, then if the person doesn't embark upon losing game option A, then he must embark upon losing game option B, and therefore will lose the game. So he's in the choice. He's in this cleft stick of he either loses the game by adopting losing game option A, or if he doesn't embark upon game option A, he will embark upon game option not A, and if he doesn't embark upon game option A, he will embark upon game option B and lose the game. See that? That is the Zhang-Wang. That is the Zhang-Wang mechanism. Now, if you follow this through so far, and follow the complexity of this through so far, you'll see that it's not surprising that the mechanism is very deeply buried and is very little understood, and why people get so terribly, terribly puzzled when they get zhang-zhuanged. They simply do not understand the mechanism. You have to be a bit of a logician, you have to be a bit of a psychologist, and you have to be a bit of a mental researcher like me before you could even get close to understanding the mechanism of zhang-zhuang in life. For those of you who are logically inclined, I can give you the logical propositions, the logical postulates of zhang-zhuang. The person is operating on postulate X, shall we say, and postulate X has at least two losing game options, which we will call A and B. Okay? So there's our background. And Zhang Zhuang occurs when the senior encompassing game impinges and brings about this following situation. We have if A, then not X, if B, then not X, if not A, then B. They are there's just those three propositions. That's the end of the three propositions. Now, when you examine those three propositions in logic, you will find that one of the valid deductions from those three propositions is that postulate X is reduced to zero. That when those three propositions hold, then X equals zero. In other words, is proposition when postulate X cannot maintain. In other words, it goes into loss. That's why the game loss is inevitable in Zhang Zhuang. Postulate X cannot succeed. It can only fail under those circumstances. So let's for the benefit of logicians who may be listening to this tape, that is the logic of Zhang Zhuang. And if you write it down on a piece of paper and do the necessary piece of logical deductions, you'll see that what I say is true. That's the logic of Zhang Zhuang. Now let us now apply what we know to what we call the Zhang Zhuang analysis. Zhang Zhuang analysis. Now, The most difficult part of the analysis is understanding what we're doing. In other words, if you've understood it so far, the rest is easy. The difficult bit is behind us on the tape. A Zhang Zhuang analysis simply consists of isolating losing game options A and B. Once you've got them, it will stand out like a sore thumb that they're in the relationship, if not A, then B. Then you'll see why the game's loss was inevitable. So the analysis simply boils down to, a Zugzwang analysis simply boils down to listing, getting the situation at the point of Zugzwang occurs, in the picking up the situation on the track at the point where Zugzwang occurred, when you became aware that game loss was inevitable here, and listing your losing game options. Just list them. There won't be many. Usually there's only two, three, four, half a dozen at the very outside. Sometimes it's just two. Most commonly, it's just two. Call them A and B, and you will see in the glance that that you're faced with the situation of either adopting A, and if you don't adopt A, then you must adopt B. But because B is a losing game option, game loss is inevitable. And once you've done that, you understand the Zugzwang. The Zugzwang, the mystery then comes out of the Zugzwang. You see how the senior encompassing game has enforced that peculiar relationship of, if not A, then B, between the two losing game options in the situation of your postulate in the situation. And you understand that, then you understand everything about the Zugzwang in that situation, and it collapses. You see that? You don't really need to know what your postulate was, but you will find out what your postulate is. You don't really need to know what your postulate was. Once you start listing your losing game options, the postulates that these losing game options are associated with or connected to will pop into your mind, so that you will discover the postulate involved here. There's only one postulate that's involved. There's not a number of postulates. It's just one postulate that goes into failure in Zugzwang. And it is the failure of that postulate that brings about the game loss. There's not a number of postulates that go into failure in Zugzwang. It's just the one. Now let's apply this to our this analysis now to our examples of Zugzwang. First of all, apply it to the game of chess. Well, here the application is so trivial that it will fall apart as we touch it. Here the losing game options, the player's got two losing game options. A, he makes a move. That's A, he makes a move, bearing in mind they're all bad moves. And losing game option B is to refuse to make a move. Well, the senior encompassing game here is the laws of chess. That's the senior encompassing game. And if he's in the Zugzwang situation, is such, when he's in the Zugzwang situation, then he's in a situation where not A, if not A, then B maintains. The laws of chess insist upon that. That's the senior encompassing game impinging upon the particular game of chess that's being played. And in other words, he's faced with a situation where if he doesn't make a move, then he's refusing to make a move. And if he refuses to make a move, he loses the game by default, by violation of the rules of chess. In other words, that's losing game option B. See that? So there's the analysis of Zugzwang in chess. The postulate that the player is operating on in the game of chess is to not lose the game. To not lose it, the chess player is always happy to either win the game or draw the game. His goal is not to lose it. So that's his postulate, and the two losing game options will deny this postulate. Okay, that's completes the analysis in the chess game. Now let's take up the analysis now and apply the analysis to the businessman and his donations to charity. Well, let's start off with the postulate here. The postulate I've already given is that the businessman doesn't want to make any unnecessary expenditure of money. That's his postulate. So his losing game option A is to pay the charity. That's losing game option A. And losing game option B is to pay the tax office fine. Now The senior encompassing game here is the laws of the land and is the laws of the tax office, of the tax system, which say that that under certain circumstances the tax office is bound to check up on what people put on their tax returns. That's a standard part of their operating procedure, is to make checks, particularly when there's large amounts of money involved. So that's the laws of the land, and that's the laws that he invokes there. That's a sort of the senior encompassing game, and the senior encompassing game steps in and zugzwangs him. The senior encompassing game impinges upon his game that he's playing, and enforces this relationship of if not A then B between his losing game options, and says that if you don't pay the charity then you will pay the tax office fine, if not A then B, and thereby reduces him to zugzwang and inevitable game loss. You get it? And you see how easy it is. Now all the bits are easily explainable. The whole mechanism comes apart when you understand the postulate, the losing game options, the senior encompassing game, and this peculiar relationship of if not A then B, that under certain circumstances the senior encompassing game can impose upon the losing game options. What puzzles a person, always puzzles the player about zugzwang, is that he makes a postulate which is not in opposition to any postulate in the universe or any postulate of the or any law of the society in which he lives necessarily. He makes this postulate, and the next thing he knows is that the law of the universe or the law of the society is, under certain circumstances, steps in and enforces game loss upon him. And this is what makes it so terribly, terribly puzzling. He doesn't understand the mechanism of the senior encompassing game, and the fact that he's not living in a vacuum. He's living in a society, he's living in a universe, and this universe can impinge and can impose upon him and can upset the affairs of mice and men. You see what I'm getting at here? This is what he doesn't grasp. When the person understands this, understands that there is such a thing as a senior encompassing game, and that he's got games within games, then he starts to understand the zugzwang mechanism. And he just adds to that this subject of the losing game options and that peculiar relationship that gets imposed upon them, of if not A then B, between any two of the losing games options of a postulate. Then that's the whole picture. Now, this analysis will take apart any zugzwang situation. The data I've given you on this tape is sufficient to take apart any zugzwang situation. If you've got an incident on your track when you were zugzwanged, then the point to pick it up, you pick up the incident at the point which where you game loss became inevitable, where you suffered the inevitable game loss, and that's the point to address, and that's the point where you will most easily find your losing game options, and most easily find the senior encompassing game and so forth. It'll all be there in that instant in time where the senior encompassing game imposed itself upon the junior game, you might say, and imposed zugzwang upon it. That's the point where you pick up the incident. If you pick it up at that exact point, all the data I've given you, all the bits will be there. They'll just fall bang into place, bang, 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 bang. And the zugzwang will come apart very, very quickly. And in a flash it will come apart, and you'll understand, possibly for the first time in many years, just how come you lost that particular game. A games player, if he understands this mechanism very, very thoroughly and very, very well, and is able to change his postulates very quickly, in other words, his postulates are in a fluid state, he can avoid the zugzwang, because there's always intimations that it's happening. He always gets the, if only for a few fractions of a second, he's always got some time. Sometimes he's got days, weeks, months. But he's always got some time in which to change his postures and avoid the game loss. In the game of chess, it's inevitable. You can't avoid the game lost in chess because the rules of chess are quite inflexible and quite fixed. And he abides by and agrees by those rules and so forth. But let's take the example of the businessman. At the point where he received that phone call from the charity, requesting, thanking him for his donation and asking when they can expect to receive a check. If at that point he changed his mind about this posture, about what he considered game loss in regarding expenditure of money, in other words, if he no longer regarded it as a game loss to pay the charity, he can escape the zugzwang, you see. He could write out a check for the charity and say, well, I'm not losing the game when I pay the charity. So he could simply write out a check for the charity, and everyone would be happy, and he would not lose the game if he can change his mind and adopt that mental attitude. The non-compulsive games player could do that. The compulsive games player can't do that, so he suffers the zugzwang. So as I said earlier on the tape, the people most likely to suffer zugzwang are the compulsive games players. They're in a state of compulsive games play which fixes their postulates, and their fixity of postulates fixes them to such an extent that they can't change their postulates at a moment's notice when they have to in a zugzwang situation, so they go into inevitable game loss. So it's the compulsive games player who suffers most from zugzwang. The non-compulsive games player can avoid it. Actually, it's a very interesting observation upon our society and how little is understood about life and games play in our society, that this mechanism of zugzwang is not understood. I can assure you that the mechanism is totally not understood in our society, and the fact that it's not understood is a total indictment upon our society in terms of how much it understands about life and games play, because the mechanism isn't a difficult one to take apart if you study it and are familiar with a few basics of life and livingness. Finally, and very, very briefly, there is a connection between the subject of zugzwang overwhelm and the subject of the game strategies. Quite obviously, if you're in a frame of mind to do so, and you know the losing game options and postulates of your opponent, and the senior encompassing game of your opponent, it's not difficult to set up a situation which puts your opponent in a zugzwang, and therefore inevitable game loss. And there are a number of game strategies called zugzwang game strategies. They're usually regarded in life as rather fiendish. Nobody really understands them, but they can be highly workable by people who do have some understanding of this mechanism and who have an urge to use such game strategies. So be prepared to find a connection between the subject of zugzwang and the subject of game strategies in life and livingness. Well, I see I'm coming up to the end of this tape now. I don't want to run off the end, so we'll close at this point. And I hope this material is helpful to you. Bye-bye for now.